We've come together to pray. And we'll pray well enough if the spirit of prayer is on us. And we'll catch the spirit of prayer if we catch a sight of Jesus. So we're going to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is. Muhammad was, Marx was, Buddha was, Jesus is. Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus is to come. The apostle says, we have a great high priest. So when I was 14 and almost 15, the Lord stepped into my life and saved me, and little while later, someone slipped into my hand a little piece of card, and this is what it said. And somebody here present is going to think I'm probably a hypocrite, because yesterday I was saying to them, we should never have long quotations from the preacher, and here is one. This is what this piece of card said. He came from the bosom of the Father to the bosom of a woman. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He became man that we might become the sons of God. He was born contrary to the laws of nature, lived in poverty, reared in obscurity, only once crossed the boundary of the land of his childhood. He had no wealth, nor influence, neither training, nor formal education. His relatives were inconspicuous and uninfluential. In infancy, he startled a king. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the billows and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicines and made no charge for his services. He never wrote a book. Yet not all the libraries of the country could hold the books that could be written about him. He never wrote a song. Yet he furnished the theme of more songs than all the songwriters combined. He never founded a college. Yet all the schools together cannot boast of as many students as he has. He never practiced psychiatry. And yet he's healed more broken hearts than the doctors have broken bodies. He never marshaled an army, drafted a soldier, nor fired a gun. Yet no leader ever made more volunteers who have, under his orders, made more rebels stack arms or surrender without a shot being fired. He is the star of astronomy, the rock of geology, the lion and the lamb, the harmonizer of all discords and the healer of all diseases. Great men have come and gone. Yet he lives on. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not seduce him. Death could not destroy him. The grave could not hold him. He laid aside his purple robe for a peasant's gown. He was rich. Yet for our sake, He became poor. How poor? Ask Mary. Ask the wise men. He slept in another's manger. He crossed the lake in another's boat. He rode on another man's donkey. He was buried in another man's tomb. He is the chief among 10,000. He is altogether lovely. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what I read on the piece of card. Never forgotten it. We have a great high priest. But the high priest of the Old Testament, when you most needed him, wasn't there. He went out of sight. He went behind the veil. Blood had to be shed for his sins and the sins of the people, and he represented the people to God. We don't have a high priest like that. Our high priest has not entered behind the veil in some earthly tabernacle. He's entered heaven. That's where he is. He's out of sight, but he's representing us. And that's why we're going to pray with boldness, because we're joined to him if we're believers, and our prayers are certain, therefore, to be heard. Jesus is. Number two, Jesus understands. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, I once lived by the ocean, and not far away from where I lived was a little town which had a harbour, but there were storms in the winter, so they built a great wall to protect the harbour and the little town from the terrible storms which came. But one winter, there was a storm which nobody has ever forgotten. It started in the afternoon. It got worse in the evening. The wind blew. The waves got higher and higher. It was a very noisy affair. By morning, that wall had completely gone. The storm continued another day and another day and another day. And the cliffs, which were beside the little harbour, they took the battering of the storm, and they took the battering of the storm, and 3 days and three nights they took the battering of the storm, and the cliffs remained completely unmoved when the wall had been taken away. And those cliffs received a battering which that wall had never known, because the wall gave way and the cliffs didn't. And you've had temptation. And I have too. And we've given in. But he was tempted in all points like as we are. And he never gave in. And he received a battering of an intensity and power and strength. He was faced with evil in a way that none of us have ever been faced. And he did not budge. And therefore, when the worst things happen to us, he understands. That's why we pray, isn't it? Jesus is, Jesus understands. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, we read, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is, Jesus understands, Jesus forgives. We find mercy. Let's go back to storms. A man had a dream. He was out in an open field. The rain came down. The sky went black. The lightning flashed. The thunder sounded. He was soaked to the skin. He looked for somewhere to shelter. He saw a little house nearby with a light shining. He went to the door, but written over the door was holiness. And he wasn't holy, so he wasn't allowed in. But nearby was another place, and the storm was getting worse, and he ran there for shelter, but over the door was written truth, and he hadn't always told the truth, and he hadn't always believed the truth, so he wasn't allowed in. In his despair, he looked for somewhere else to run to, and he saw another place, and he ran there, but it was called justice. And he hadn't always lived justly. He hadn't always been fair. He wasn't allowed in. Where do you go? Where do you go when you're shut out? Ah, but then he saw another place, and he ran to it, and it was called mercy. And the door was open, and gentlemen, ladies, boys and girls, the door was open without any steps up to it. It was open on street level, and he ran in and was welcomed, and his clothes were changed, and he sat down to a meal, and they said, "You've come home." If you have to be holy, you'll never get into God's presence. If you have to be truth, you'll never get into God's presence. If you have to be just, you'll never get into God's presence. There's a door open, but it's called mercy. And you don't have to climb up any steps. You just go in. Because a Savior, holy, truth, just, died in the place of every believer and is alive with open arms to welcome us in. It's mercy. It's mercy. You come to Christ as you are, where you are. You don't have to improve first. You find mercy and you find grace to help in time of need. And someone's going to say, "Well, what's the difference between mercy and grace?" Well, some boys once got a handful of stones and they went to a house where there was a... Do you use the word greenhouses in North America? Do you use that word? Do you know what a greenhouse is? Okay, fine. In the garden of this house, there were some greenhouses with tomatoes and other things growing in there. And with a handful of stones, they broke the glass. But they were caught by the owner of the house. He knew the boys. He lived in the same village. He knew their parents. "You're to come back to my house tomorrow. I know your names. I know where you live. You're to come back to my house tomorrow." So these boys went back to the house the next day, to the house of Mr. R. Hudson Pope. That was his name. This is a true story. "Sit down, boys," he said. It'll cost me about £500. That's about $700 to mend the damage you did yesterday. That's what you should pay. But you're not going to have to pay it. I'll pay it myself." That's mercy. They didn't get what they deserved. They deserved a punishment. They deserved a fine. They didn't get what they deserved. "Now come into the room, boys," he said. "Come in here." And they went into the room, and there was a table laid with all the things that boys and girls like to eat. "Sit down, lads. Have the feast of your lives." And they sat down and had a thoroughly wonderful meal and evening with this man. That's grace. Grace is where someone gives you what you don't deserve. And Jesus is, and Jesus understands, and Jesus forgives, and Jesus helps. And he helps us by giving us what we don't deserve. And when we come to him in prayer, we come to God through Jesus, we receive grace to help. What do you need help in? Do you need help in praying? He'll give it to you. Do you need help in praying in your heart while somebody else is praying out loud? What really do you need this evening? Pray what's on your heart. That's what the pastor once said. There was a silence in the prayer meeting, and then a child shouted out, "Help!" And that was a pretty good prayer, wasn't it? Don't all do it at once. We're here to pray. The Lord loves us to pray. While one and another's leading us in prayer, we'll pray in our hearts. There's a Savior in heaven. He's there representing us. He is. He understands. He forgives. He gives grace to help. So let's come boldly to the throne of grace.